from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. San Jose's sanctuary policy has been in the spotlight since resident Bambi Larson was killed earlier this year, allegedly by an undocumented immigrant with a criminal record. San Jose Police Chief Eddie Garcia joins us to share his perspective on this topic and many others, like crime rates, response time, staffing numbers, homelessness. Welcome, Chief Garcia. I hope you're fully caffeinated because we're jumping in right in on this one.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, you may have just heard us talking about the California Reporting Project about California law on obtaining police records. Why has San Jose not handed over police misconduct files to news organizations like KQED?
Well, it's actually a more complicated process than I think some make it out to be. I mean, one of the callers earlier was talking about, you know, the staffing. I mean, we have to have a group of individuals that are looking at the data, retrieving the data, redacting the data. But again, our full goal is to cooperate and be transparent. That assists us both, actually. It assists the agency as well as it does the community. And so we certainly are trying to expedite as quickly as we can. To get these records out, because again, I truly feel that it helps an agency as opposed to hurts it.
Can you commit today to a timeline? So it's 6 months out since this law went into effect. 9 months? 12 months?
You know what? Again, we're in the process of hiring people right now. I know last week that we had some hiring boards. And so we'll continue to do our best and get the information out there. Again, I will tell you, and I can commit this, is that I'm committed to get this done as quickly as possible because, again, it helps agencies to be transparent.
Well, let's move on to the murder of Bambi Larson in late February in her home, stabbed to death, allegedly by a 24-year-old man, an undocumented immigrant with a record. I'm wondering if you can sort of summarize for us what your public position has been. You've written about this, published about this earlier this year.
Well, you know, the first thing that we are here, the San Jose Police Department is here to protect our otherwise law-abiding immigrants, documented or not, that are here and make San Jose better and that want a better opportunity for their families. I was born in Puerto Rico. I moved here when I was very young. I learned how to speak English in San Jose. And my goal is I just simply want the same opportunities that my family had for myself and my sister that I can give that to our community. And so, you know, we are here to protect and defend our undocumented immigrants that make San Jose better. However, we have one common enemy. And that's individuals that commit violent or serious or significant crimes in our community. For the small number of undocumented residents that commit these serious violent crimes, I think there's room to navigate with that.
And what kind of response have you gotten from politicians locally? I mean, we've seen the Santa Clara County, Board of Supervisors basically reaffirm support for sanctuary policy on civil detainers. How have they responded to your call for relaxing that policy for serious and violent felons?
Well, the board, you know, and they care about their community deeply. And they voted to uphold the county's the county's sanctuary policy, and so I can only control what I can control, and I will say that we will continue to message to our undocumented community in San Jose that we have their back. We just recently I reaffirmed our stance that we have their back just recently at a couple of Spanish masses in one of our churches in San Jose with our union to let them know that this is, that this is what we're saying and this is what we're going to do and this is what our policy is. But again, I can only guarantee the residents of San Jose that, their police officers, their men and women will continue to relentlessly pursue violent criminals regardless of immigration status. And so right now we just really have to work hard to ensure that our undocumented community knows that the police department has their back and make sure that our message and my stance on this particular issue is not misinterpreted.
Well, we've only got a half hour and, of course, a little bit less than that. So I'm just going to throw out the phone number right now before I head into my third question. What questions do you have for Chief Garcia? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org. Reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. We're monitoring all of that. Let's talk now, Chief, about the Santa Clara County District Attorney's latest annual overview of crimes in the region. So this would be looking back in the rearview mirror at 2018. What stood out to you from that report? What were you most concerned about? The rise in rape and sexual assault, home invasions? What was really the headline for you?
Well, for us, you know, really the rise in sexual assault is something that that we really need to get our arms around, whether it's from a police perspective, a social perspective. And so those are startling numbers. And so we definitely were working with our city council, which is it's important to them. And it's important to the men and women of this police department. And so we're taking some steps to really study that. That phenomenon and see what things we could do better within the police department and what things that we're going to need help with from other outside agencies and other community-based organizations. You know, aggravated assault for me, to me, that's always been the true indication of the safety of a city. And that's an area that that we've struggled with and that you know, the one thing that we always have to remember is that although, you know, the statistics will rise and fall, that San Jose still can boast that it's one of the safest, largest cities in this country. And one of the obviously one of the safest, largest cities, you know, in the state. And so but we know that when these numbers spike that, you know, our residents, you know, have an expectation and we need to rise to that expectation. And, you know, luckily, I will tell you, the men and women that wear this uniform are second to none. And, you know, I have a front row seat to some amazing police work that they do. And so we just go back and figure out some strategies that we can do, that we can reduce crime. But at the same time, while reducing crime, increasing community trust, because you can't have one without the other.
Well, speaking of community trust, a shout out now to the Facebook group San Jose Current Events. I put out a call for them and their questions to you, and boy, do they come back. Let's start with Cassius Gray. Ask him why they have a response time of 8 minutes for a priority one call, but any other level call, you are looking at hours.
So, you know, obviously this police department is, you know, I can snap my fingers right now, have 400 officers, and we would still be the least staffed major police department in the country. And obviously, we have struggled with our staffing. We've turned the corner and we have risen, but we need to continue to rise. With our academy numbers, right now we have 94 recruits that are in the academy right now in two different classes. You know, a lot of thanks goes out to the mayor and council and our city manager for recognizing that the department needed to grow again. And so, you know, those response times are something that are going to get better. It's not really necessary. It's not hours for other calls, but we can get better in our response times. There's no doubt about it. We're looking at different strategies as officers are freed up from training. We're going to start placing those officers in where response times are the highest. So we're able to really pinpoint where we need to improve. But that's an area that is that's a goal for us to reduce. And as we're rising as a police department, we feel that we'll be able to get better at that.
Well, we're getting a lot of phone calls, so let's head right away to Roger in San Jose.
Hey, Chief. Thanks for being available. Got a quick question about the department's stance on the Asian apartment massage parlors. They're pretty rampant in the San Jose area. Specifically, some of the women that are being trafficked here to serve customers in these apartment massage parlors. What's your stance, and what are you doing to address this this issue?
Well, that's a great question, and we've been addressing it, you know, with our vice unit. Whenever we get complaints, our vice unit looks into it. We've brought our city attorney's office on board as well. And so we really try to abate those establishments as they pop up. And we've done a pretty good job on that. But they do pop up quite frequently. The other thing we have to remember, the point you made, is, you know, we have our human trafficking folks as well, that we have to be more aggressive from a human trafficking perspective when it comes to these type of establishments as well, so we can save as many victims as possible. And so it's something that we definitely take seriously, and it's something that's been on our radar, and we continue to chip away at it.
Roger, thank you so much for that. I'm going to give out the number again, just because we have so little time. 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Ganesh Devon writes, as a downtown property owner, I'd like to know what keeps the San Jose Police Department from enforcing loitering laws, i.e. encampments, sleeping on public property, etc. I see plenty of active cops, so I wonder if they're prevented from taking action. Obviously, the homeless need a place to stay, but it shouldn't be in public parks and thoroughfares meant to be enjoyed by all residents.
Well, let me just, you know, I'll start off with, it's such a complicated issue. Homelessness in and by itself is not a crime. And I understand that people's frustrations with loitering. But the one thing that we all need to work together, because, I mean, they need somewhere to go. And to the extent that we will try to do our best to impact the criminal activity that happens throughout our city, whether it be in residential areas or in homeless encampments, we're going to do that. And we've started to do that as well. But the officers do, you know, I will say that it's a thing of triage as well. As I mentioned, with the thinly staffed police department, we need to triage our calls. The number one thing that we need to do is ensure that we respond to the 911 call for service as quickly as possible. And so, but I know that our officers do respond to loitering calls, and they do take enforcement action when necessary, but with a level that, you know, I want it to be done with a level of empathy as well, because we do have a homeless crisis in this city and in other cities as well. It's not just immune to San Jose, and we need to really deal with that, and it's a complicated issue.
Well, that's not the only comment or question about homelessness. Let's go to Nick in San Jose. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
You had a question?
Hi. Yeah, thank you, Chief, for talking to us today. I had a question about what the actual letter to the law is about setting up an encampment and when it's appropriate to call you guys to address the issue. I know that when somebody is actively breaking a law, that's when you want to call 911. But when somebody is not necessarily causing a danger to somebody, but they might be breaking a law that's not causing danger to somebody, and we call the city, I'm wondering if you can just kind of outline when we can call about an encampment and what the actual rules and regulations around that are. Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the question. I mean, the first thing that, you know, I want to make sure that people are aware of is the fact that the police department does not do the abatements. Our Department of Housing is the department that actually runs with that, and they'll do the postings and make sure people are aware when it's going to occur. And the police department access security as they do what they do. You know, obviously, calling 311 if you see a dangerous situation is something that that people should do when they see this, or contact our housing department as well. And, you know, we make an assessment, you know, together to figure out exactly, you know, to triage which encampments can pose a danger more so than others. And they get put on a priority list. And that's how things get done.
Liz writes, what is their staffing/response plan for El Viso with the increased high-impact development? She notes she's seen the satellite center in the neighborhood, but literally have never seen it staffed open.
Yeah, so again, as our staffing continues to improve, they'll see more police presence. It's really that simple. Obviously, Alviso is in the most northern area of the city. And so, you know, it's all part of the Central Division of San Jose. And so really our plan is as these academy recruits are getting out of the academy, and it's important to always call the police because the way we measure where we're going to put officers at is where are the most calls occurring? Where are we getting more? Where's violence happening? Where are the calls for service happening? And so as we see that and as we see population growth, we will adjust accordingly by putting officers in those areas.
Annie writes, what proactive steps are the police taking to stop racial profiling?
So, I mean, that's a great question. That's an area where, you know, all law enforcement needs to really come together and try to, you know, shift some of what the perceptions are. But, you know, a few things that we've done is we have a bias-based policing class that the entire department has to go through. We have a procedural justice class that the department has to go through. We just recently started the first type of class that actually teaches our new recruits the negative history of law enforcement, so that the recruits have an understanding that, you know, this badge that, you know, we wear so proudly didn't always shine so bright. And so we really do talk to them about that. I mean, it really starts at the top with regards to what the expectations are. As I mentioned earlier, if you lower crime but your community trust diminishes as well, that's not success. And the men and women of this police department realize that. And so we're looking at things constantly, how to improve. Just recently last week, I met with the San Jose State football team, a very diverse group of young men, and talked about, you know, the efforts that we're doing in San Jose. We broke up into groups to have some difficult conversations about some interactions that they may have had with police, whether here or elsewhere. And so it's something that that's very real for us. That we realize it, and we're really having those conversations with our community to ensure that they know that it's important to us.
And yet that survey from 2018 that we mentioned before points out that, you know, a lot of the police enforcement hits communities of color in Gilroy and parts of San Jose.
Yeah, unfortunately, areas that have violence and crime happen to be the same areas that we have our communities of color. But it's interesting because, you know, I'm not a sit-in-the-office kind of chief, and I've gone to a lot of every corner of the city. And, you know, I have yet to meet a resident of San Jose, regardless of language spoken or economic status, that wants crime in their neighborhood. And so, you know, these are the very communities that, you know, that I go out to that want more of us out there. They want more. They want fair policing, but they want more policing.
We have a comment revisiting the Sanctuary City question from earlier this half hour. Frank writes, the Santa Clara County Board of Supervisors collectively committed a crime. They protected a felon. They upheld a policy which bars notifying ICE. The murder of Miss Larson is a microcosm of the problems involving people illegally residing here. It's time the legislators represent the citizens of this country, not those who are here illegally. Compassion is like patience. They both have limits.
You know, I understand the community's frustration, and obviously, you know, what my stance has been, along with the district attorney, along with the mayor as well, is that there should be room for violent, serious, or significant crimes in that policy. But what I will say that had this individual, you know, had one of the points as well that I will say is that had this individual been born here, the conversation would have shifted as to why was this individual out of custody. He was arrested multiple times, and that's where the conversation would have shifted. So yes, there is the sanctuary policy. That's the, you know, the elephant in the room, but we can't lose sight of the fact that, you know, we have to take a deeper look at our criminal justice system to actually ask ourselves, why would this individual out? What are we doing for our mentally ill, and what are we doing for our individuals that are drug abusers, and so, you know, those are all questions that need to get answered, and we need to move forward with those as well.
Nguyen asks, ask them what they are doing about robbery. How can they fix that? They are only writing tickets.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. We don't write tickets for robbery. I will tell you this, that our robbery unit has done an amazing job. Last year, we did have a spike in a certain type of robbery that's called carjacking. And so, you know, again, a lot of that is using technology in our favor to figure out where we think these incidents may occur, really utilizing our officers to put them in the right areas at the right times where we see things. And really, as we rise as a department, which we're doing, those things will level off.
It does seem like there's that question about, you know, where you employ your resources, given that they are, by definition, limited.
Yeah, and that's a question, because it's interesting. You know, if we could, historically, you know, we know where violent crime historically, occurs. You know, obviously there's random acts of violence, but we know which are our most vulnerable neighborhoods. But the issue with that is, you know, there are other neighborhoods also that may not be as vulnerable, and, you know, and they deserve to see a police officer drive up and down the street every once in a while as well. And so we really have to balance the hotspot policing with ensuring that the entire city, knows that their police department is actively working to keep them safe.
Let's head back to the phones now. And Anahita in San Jose.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I have a question for Chief Garcia. I am a resident in South San Jose. And one day I was driving by Great Oaks Parkway looking for the police department. My Google showed that building, but when I pulled over, it was just the abandoned or seemingly empty building. I'm just curious to know whether or not there are plans to have that building to put to use, or what kind of use, and what was it for, and whether or not there's going to be more police presence in South San Jose. Thank you. I'll take my question off the air.
Thank you for the question. Actually, we're actually very excited right now that the substation that you're talking about, the Chaplain Dave Bridgen substation in South San Jose, is actually where we house our academy and our training. And so it's definitely being put to use at this point to train the future of this police department. So we're proud of that. Having said that, we're also in conversations and talks right now to try to find a facility to move the academy in order for us to deploy officers in the Southern Division out of the substation. And so we're working earnestly to get that going. And so I know that we have support from our city leaders. We're very excited right now. You know, it'll be a great shot in the arm to this police department, especially as we grow. And I'm hopeful within the next couple years that we will be able to start deploying officers out of the Southern substation to assist you and the rest of the residents of Southern San Jose.
Great question, Anahita. Let's go now to Ken in San Jose.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I've lived here in San Jose my entire life. I'm a business owner. I also am aware that there are good and bad apples, right? So my question was more or less, if the chief can let the community know how to go about reporting or filing police misconduct so that the community is aware in case they notice it. Like I said, I've lived here my whole life. I've seen my fair share of misconduct. I had a buddy, his father was killed, and they actually won the lawsuit in a settlement. But there was no charges, nothing found. So that's just a quick example. But how does the community go about dealing with the misconduct?
So that's a very good question. And I will tell you this, and I've said this many times, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And so, you know, that's something that we really want to ensure that our community knows. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. We're not perfect. But when we see misconduct occurring, we do deal with it. So when you see misconduct occurring, you can contact our internal affairs unit, or you can also contact if you don't feel comfortable calling the police department to report that, you can contact the independent police auditor. And I'll put that number out right now. It's 408-794-6226. You know, one of the things that I'll just dovetail a little bit in some of those, as I mentioned earlier with the transparency issues, you know, one of the things as I go out and talk to the community many times is there is a question as to whether or not police departments can police themselves. And so one of the things that I think is positive for agencies, as I mentioned before, is the fact that with these transparency built, these transparency laws, the way they help an agency is they're able to shed light on the fact that we do police ourselves. And we have done that in the past and we'll continue to do that as well in the future.
Jim asks, how soon till the gangs on the east side are taken care of?
Well, you know, that's going to be an issue that we are going to be dealing with. You know, there's been gangs in San Jose. We're dealing with the gangs in San Jose. One of the things that we need to do, the issue is going to be solved when we can find things for these young men and women to do, when we can have them have success in school, when we can have them not be impacted by the high cost of living in San Jose. We can send police officers to these areas all the time and we can make arrests, but the true problem is not going to be solved until we really look at this from a perspective of why these kids are getting into these gangs to begin with and deal with those root causes. You know, we can't arrest our way out of our gang problem. We need to ensure that we're in the lives of these young men and women early on, so we can ensure that they don't go down this path. That's the holistic approach that we need to take. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like we're going to be soft on crime, because we're absolutely not. I don't think I've ever been accused of that, I can tell you. We need to really look at root causes, and that's going to be the only way we'll be able to get out of that.
Well, we've got time for one last comment or question, I should mention, from Yang Tom, who asks, you know, whether certain neighborhoods, you know, I'm talking about Willow Glen, when they get quick response times, what does that mean for the rest of San Jose? Are they getting the same TLC from the police department?
Well, as I've been around, the community groups and talking throughout the city, what I've told them very loud and clear, that every business in San Jose has the same right for police officers as anywhere in the city.
And I'm going to stop you there. Chief Eddie Garcia, representing the San Jose Police Department, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Be sure to check out the rest of the conversation at kqed.org/forum. You've been listening to Forum. I'm Rachel Myerwin for Michael Krasny. Thank you for joining us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.